This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Heir of all things strange will be here shortly. Until then, I am your engineer at the helm, Joe Masiri, welcoming you to the night shift.
You must use the force. You must use the force.
You must use the
force. You must use the force.
You must use the
force.
You must use the force.
You must use the force.
You must use the force.
You must use the force.
You must use the force.
You must use the force.
You must use the force.
You must use the
force. You must use the force.
Time ago, far, far away, long time ago, far, far away.
Kiss a Wookiee, kick a droid, fly the Falcon through an asteroid, till the princess is annoyed. This is spaceships, it's monsters, it's Star Wars, we love it, come and help me, Obi-Wan. X-Wing fighter and a blaster gun, dance with Ewoks, so we're fun. This is spaceships, it's monsters, it's Star Wars, we love it. Get in there, you big furry oaf. I couldn't care less what you smell. I take orders from only me. Maybe you'd like it back in your cell, your highness. Your worshipfulness, your highness. Your worshipfulness.
No one cares if you upset a droid.
Upset
that's because droids don't tear your arms out of socket.
Nobody cares, I suggest a new strategy. Let the Wookiee win. That's because nobody cares
if you upset a droid.
Listen to a whining
one more season. One more season. One more season.
I was gonna go to Tashi Station for power converters. Now I guess I'm going nowhere. It just isn't fair.
Wookie.
Kiss your brother.
Kiss your brother.
Who's your daddy?
Luke, I'm your father.
That's not true.
It is useless to resist. Come with me, my son. We will rule. Suit your feelings, it is true. So you have a twin sister who Obi-Wan was wise to hide. If you will not turn, then perhaps she will give in to your hate. You are mine.
Long time ago, far, 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 far away. Long, long, long time ago, far, far, far away.
Kiss a Wookiee.
Kiss a Wookiee.
Kick a
Wookiee.
Fly the Falcon.
Fly the Falcon.
An asteroid.
Far away.
Spaceships, it's monsters, it's Star Wars, we love it, it's true.
Episode 3, 2005.
So let's go
to the movie.
Cause it's all the time.
Go on the dark side.
May the Force be with you all.
John Williams is the man.
Got a newly hair, Harry Potter.
not sure. Like a laughing Gryffindor. Harry Potter, you cast your spell on me. Harry Potter, when school starts, you fight against the darker odds. Harry Potter, you cast your spell on me.
Oh, This is Bob Central. Channel open for executive order AC3423. Listen to this, boys.
Now, where are my people? 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 Where are my people?
Not exactly the electric chair. I'm going to count to 10 as you're falling asleep. And when I'm finished, you'll be deeply, deeply asleep. 1, falling asleep. 2, falling asleep. 3, falling asleep. 4, falling asleep. 5, falling asleep.
And you don't think it's time somebody had a dream again, huh? You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Times have changed, changed, changed. Times have changed, changed, changed. Times have changed, changed.
How long has it been since you slept?
It's time.
How long has it been since you slept?
I don't know. I've seen me get tired. But I know I haven't slept since this thing began. Consuelo, they're not human. Consuelo, they're not human. Consuelo, they're not human.
Night shift. Night shift.
Of your memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them.
I'm talking about it, and I have no idea. I have no idea. I have no idea why I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, talking about this.
Night shift.
I saw something, they saw something.
Night shift.
There was a lot of light. That's all I remember.
Let it's about the music.
Night shift.
It's about life.
Now,
it's like science fiction.
Where are my people? It feels like times have changed.
An invisible barrier keeps anyone from getting out. It's designed to keep me inside, but it keeps everyone else in too.
Make me destroy you.
Halfway around the world.
Yeah, I'm getting pretty sick of you.
Yes, but you love me.
Night shift again.
I'll be damn late.
Night shift again. 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 Night shift again.
You're tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. And I can't resist saying it, Joe.
What?
We're going to do it again.
Do what again?
The show.
Oh. Okay.
Let's do it again.
Joe Masher, when was the last time I did a show with you?
A while.
It's been a while.
I would say, yes.
I see the enthusiasm across your face. We have a special guest, Joe.
Yes, I know.
A special guest from the island. She's from the island.
Of Long?
No, not of Long. Of Staten.
Okay, well.
She's from the island of Staten. Caroline, how are you?
I'm good. Hello.
Hello. So this is not quite your radio debut because you appeared briefly on Real World. And do you want to tell us anything about yourself? Anything that you want listeners, people who don't know who you are, to know besides your name?
Besides my name and that I'm from Staten Island?
Yes.
Let's see.
Any other pertinent stats?
Former comic writer for a greeting card company.
All right. Well, there it is. Joe, any questions?
I'm sure they will
come up.
They'll just pop.
I'm waiting for them from the Staten Island bit.
Well, you know, yeah. Joe had something flicker across his face when I said Staten Island.
Most people
I have
do.
Several friends from Staten Island, so and one who I work with. So those get used up, you know, readily during the day.
All right. Well, I have to play some of this music here, Joe, because I recently, within the last 2 weeks, this song was in my head, and I had to download it, and I've been listening to it. It just brings back memories for me.
So you say you're going through a midlife crisis?
I don't know. I just like this song.
Okay.
I really do. But I do have some stories. Life is like science fiction. We do have a theme, and Joe has. What do you have to give away, Joe? You have tickets and movies.
Well, tickets and DVDs.
Tickets and DVDs.
Yes.
Look at that. So you better stay tuned. The name of the show? Red Shift.
There you go.
Did you hear about this guy? Do you hear that he steals from a lot of comedians? Have you seen those YouTube videos where you show, the original comedians doing it and then, 20 years later him doing it?
No.
Yes, he steals from Bill Cosby, George Carlin, everybody.
Well, you know what they say.
What?
Theft is the highest.
Well, he's flattering a lot of people.
There you go. I'm not a girl
Joe.
Mr. Sergeant.
You know, I have to ask you, because you're not the kind normally to talk about this. Any thoughts on the Spitzer thing?
You know, they've just put a totally new and different spin on this whole thing.
Who did? They? The media? What did they do?
The whole thing about, well, you know, you have to look at him physically, and you have to look at, you know...
Oh, this is them. They're still jaw-boning about this.
Yes.
And analyzing the situation.
You know.
Spitzer!
Yeah, I'm listening.
And just that, you know, he was like this alpha male who got himself to believe that he was above the law, and yada, yada, yada.
He was an alpha male?
Yeah, so...
Is that what they look like?
Ooh, that's a high-pitched squeak.
It is. Max, let me ask you a question. Why doesn't this record? What's the problem?
Are you...
What's the problem?
Are the dogs coming? Is that what you were trying to do? Oh, look at that.
Yeah, why doesn't it record? What is that all about? What if that's up? Oh, there it is. Is that what that was?
And there it is.
Joe?
Yes.
Can you hear me, Joe?
I can hear you, Miguel. ¿Cómo está?
Did you hear about this? The state passed the Droopy Pants Law? I swear to you. Life is like science fiction. It's the Droopy Pants Law,
uh-huh.
And I have that story here. You want to read me a couple of your headlines there, Carol Ann? Just the headlines.
Burned alive for, quote, not washing feet.
There it is, Joe. Your height dictates how jealousy strikes.
How high or how it strikes?
Just how it strikes.
I understand.
Did you hear about the new supermarket sensor warns of pre-packaged bugs? It's going to be in your milk. It's a little sensor that goes off that'll vibrate. Your milk will start vibrating if it's gone bad. Did you know that?
So you end up with butter then.
Yes, you do.
Chunky butter.
Chunky butter. That's right. It's a milk. It's a butter. So, you didn't give me any of your headlines, Joe.
Well, you know, I wasn't
glaciers suffer record shrinkage. Oh, look, you got to put on your glasses. Why don't you use the Retinox 5? Are you allergic to Retinox 5?
No, I haven't used
it. That's a Star Trek reference, Carolyn. It's something only the true diehard freak would even know.
You know, I got to bring that song for you next week.
What song?
Hail to the Geek.
Oh, speaking of songs, I do have a song for Spitzer.
You do?
Yes.
That's why you brought him up?
Yes, it is.
You forgot, but because I brought this up, you were able to segue back.
No, I didn't forget. Okay. I knew there would be a natural segue. You don't have to point it out to people. It's supposed to feel spontaneous.
Made me glasses, but
you can see through me. I made me glasses, but I can see through you. All right, this is for the whole Spitzer thing.
Yes.
Do you know who that is singing?
No.
That's Dusty Springfield.
Oh, yeah?
With the Pet Shop Boys. Did you know that? Carol Ann knew.
Wow. I wasn't big on Dusty Springfield.
Wow. Were you big on the Pet Shop Boys?
Mentimans.
Mentimans. You ever heard of the Pet Shop Boys? Listen, let me ask you a question. How was the turnout last week for Doomsday? How was that?
It was
the
good.
Midnight screening with Joe.
It was a good turnout. A
good turnout?
Yes, very good turnout.
What, did you have to turn people away?
No, we got everybody in.
Everybody in for the midnight show? How full was it?
It was full.
It was full?
Yeah, it was the big theater.
Were they into it? Were they screaming?
They were into it. They were laughing and cheering and stuff like that. Not a lot of, you know...
Did you give one of your speeches at the beginning?
No, because I was actually downstairs. What happened was the theater was closed already, so...
I understand.
Once that door closed...
I understand.
Like, you know, people like Wilson Morales were calling people on the phone to get on, to get in.
Wilson
because Morales. He decided he was going to show up in his own time.
Well,
so
Wilson time.
There you go.
Wilson time. And what's the screening you have for this week? What is this movie?
That
now,
is,
prom
when is
night.
That?
Now, this prom night. Let me ask you a question.
When is that? We have the trailer. I have
this
the trailer queued up.
This is April 10th, which is in like 3 weeks.
Yes.
So here's my question about prom night. Why did they remake prom night? What's the story? Like,
every
why make that
18,
again?
Every 18 years. And it's PG-13.
But why make this again?
Because it was a big pop teen movie back in the day.
What was the sequel? Was prom night 2 something something?
I don't know.
Screw Mary Lou or something like that.
Goodbye Mary Lou or something like
something
that.
Something like that.
I have the trailer queued up, so.
You have the trailer queued up?
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. This is a little early, though. You think people will remember April 10th? All right, where's the trailer? Is it queued up here? Is it in the computer?
It's on the computer.
Is it in space?
It's in space.
Okay.
What color is your dress?
It's a champagne color.
Then it's a little sexy.
You look beautiful.
Sure gonna miss you guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Time. Okay, everyone. Bridgeport High's prom king and prom queen are...
Lisa! Lisa!
Oh, my God.
This spring.
3 years ago, this guy, he got obsessed with a young female student. He went psycho. He's been in a maximum security prison up until 3 days ago.
Claire?
He's somewhere in this hotel.
Is anybody here? Hello?
Donna. Oh, I've missed you.
It's a night. To die for.
What the hell's going on?
He's locked all the exits.
I can't find Lisa.
Please don't do this. Please.
I got officers down. I need backup now.
Where is she?
He's not going to stop until he gets her.
Prom night.
Well, Joe, that definitely... what do you think there, Carol Ann?
But I didn't go to my prom.
Would your Joey go?
To this? Absolutely.
Oh, see? See, she's got a Joe.
Yeah.
She's got a young Joe.
Yeah.
That is the same as about these kind of movies as you. And the same about music as you.
I understand.
Except that he's talented is the difference.
Thank you.
So now talk to me. So we've got these tickets. People just have to come down to the station. They're right here, prom night.
Yes, that's all
prom
they have to do. Mm-hmm. No, prom night, not
no,
prom
night
two.
Not prom night two. Prom night, and it's got Brittany Snow.
Yes.
What's she from?
I have no idea.
Okay.
In fact, there's only one guy who's like...
Jonathan Shake and Idris Elba.
There's only one guy on there who's like the most recognizable of the, you know, One Tree Hill and WB and all that kind of thing.
Who's that?
I forget what his name. I was tapping this guy.
But you forget his name.
Because, you know, I'm not a big... I don't watch those shows.
What shows do you watch, Joe? Do you watch any shows?
I watch Family Guy.
Okay, that's very good.
I'm grooving under the Family Guy.
You're grooving on Family Guy.
Every once in a while, I'll catch a little Mandy and Grimm.
I understand.
You know, The Simpsons kind of thing. Okay. A little The Colbert Report.
Okay.
A little Jon Stewart.
Okay, a little Jon Stewart and a little... adult cartoons, and you're good.
You know, I used to watch a little of Carlos Mencia when he was on, but he ain't there no more.
Why? Because he was ripping too many people off.
No, the writer's strike.
Oh, there it is.
Too much of it wasn't his own material anyway.
Exactly. It's not that he was getting anything original.
Exactly.
But, yeah, he could have still been on. So, you were a Carlos Mencia fan?
I enjoyed it, yeah. I enjoyed the show. It was fun. Good.
Have you ever seen him, Caroline?
I have, and I saw a little about this controversy. I can't remember the short... Asian guy from Mad TV, but they had him on a couple of clips on YouTube first, maybe alluding to the fact that Carlos Mencia might have taken some material, and then he retracted it on YouTube in a statement saying, no, that absolutely did not happen.
It's not true. I saw one where they showed Bill Cosby doing a routine from like 76. He does this whole routine, and then they cut to, you know, whatever it is, 2006, and Carlos Mencia doing the exact same routine. Of course, Carlos Mencia-ized it,
right.
But he's really pretty much, you know, straight up doing it.
I heard and, George
Lopez. But there are a few comedians who, like, he was coming up with who didn't get as big as him, and they really hate him for it. Like, they've confronted him and heckled him at shows and come up on stage, and they have that on YouTube, too. So what do you think will happen with YouTube, Joe? You think, like, they'll eventually outlaw it or charge you for it? Like, you have to get a subscription to YouTube?
Well, I was listening to the BBC the other day.
And
they were saying that YouTube is using their bandwidth usage equals what the entire internet's bandwidth usage was when it first came online.
Well, there it is.
So.
There it is. You know? So, you're not answering my question, of course.
I don't know. It's...
No predictions, Joe?
It all depends on who has control of what. I mean, nobody has shut down...
What's your thought about Microsoft converging with Yahoo? What did Google have to say about it?
Well, of course Google's going to bitch and moan about
okay,
that.
Okay, well, they got Android, though.
So, you know.
Do you know about Android?
No, I don't know about Android.
How could you not know about Android? Okay, Android is Google's new open platform. That's not like, you know, Microsoft, where
yes.
It's, you know, you can write programs that interface with it. An open platform, okay, that they're creating for mobile phones. So you won't be locked in like you've got this kind of phone or that kind of
like
phone.
Like the iPhone. You wouldn't have to buy the iPhone.
Exactly. It's so similar to what they're doing now with the iPhone. They're banking heavily on it.
Yeah.
And they believe that this will change and revolutionize the mobile phone market. So there it is. So one conglomerate doesn't like the idea of another conglomerate. It's like they're getting too big in that, and we're too big in this. And
you know what happens?
There it is.
You have these guys come along, and they start buying up these other companies, these, you know, mega companies. And other than Microsoft, which has its own unique model kind of thing.
Are you a Microsoft proponent?
No, but I have a couple of friends who work for Microsoft, and...
So you're part of the board collective?
No, I'm not part of the board collective.
Caroline knew what that was. She smiled. You knew what the board collective is. She knows the board collective. Go ahead.
But it's just about a different work ethic and environment that's...
a different work ethic. We're talking about capitalistopia here, Joe.
No, but the whole Microsoft thing isn't your typical kind of work environment. So
you like that whole corporate... like you want to work for the big brother kind of thing?
No.
You want to work for the biggest corporation in the world?
I'm just saying the whole, you know...
If they offered you a job, would you take it?
Depends.
You know, they're having
you
do whatever.
The whole spiel.
You're training, you're doing whatever. Travel.
I don't know.
Flying around.
Depends on how much it would encroach upon my free time and liberties.
Free time and the free time and liberties you enjoy today.
Yes.
I understand. Joseph is a politician. He's running for office. Yes. And I will immediately look into that situation. So, Joe?
Yes.
So what did you even look at your article? Is that a beeper, Joe?
No.
Wow, how retro of you.
There you go.
You have like a beeper. That's your phone?
That's my phone.
Looks like a beeper.
No, it's not a beeper.
It looks like a beeper.
It's not a beeper.
Looks like a beeper.
It works like a phone. Actually, you had problems with Sprint or Verizon. Who do you have problems with?
Sprint.
I got a call, right? So I purchased this phone. I went down to the
Sprint. Is that a Sprint phone?
Yes, and I picked it out. It's an LG. No, I've had it for quite some time. No problems like you have. But so I get this phone call about how...
oh, God, I could go off about Sprint. Let me
So they're going to give me a new LG phone because I've been a regular customer. And to make this quick, A, they said that we're going to give you a free phone, but it's $12 shipping and handling, and it's an $18 processing fee. So in the course of the conversation, I said, well, why do I want to pay the shipping when I can go to the store and get it if I have this credit on my thing?
Right.
And then I said, and why am I going to turn around and pay the $18 processing fee?
Processing.
I said, when
processing
I can,
of what?
I said, when I can just
your
go
money.
Down.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So they called me back and they said, well, we're going to send you the phone. So, you know, of course I...
For free.
For free. So I got it for
okay,
free.
Okay. Ooh.
So it shows up today. It's this new LG phone. And I looked at it and then I gave it to Lisa to look at. And I said, is it just me or does this new phone not cut the mustard of the old phone? And she's looking at it and it's like, it feels very plasticky.
Let me see.
No, this is my old phone.
Oh, that's your old phone.
Yeah.
Where's the new phone?
I didn't want to bring it. I didn't even take
well,
I
looked at it. What kind of taste test, what did you do for show and tell? You come in, it's peanut butter and jelly. I only bought the peanut butter. Wow. But when you put them together.
Just listen.
All right, I'm listening.
But I was like, I couldn't believe it. So I'm sending the damn thing back. I'm like, it's ridiculous.
You should.
So
it's an outrage.
It is.
I have no love for Sprint. They're ridiculous. I don't even want to tell you how ridiculous they are. I don't want to tell you how the months of crap
they
I've
saw
been going
you
through.
Coming.
Crap, literally. I mean,
we can take advantage
myself.
Of
I'm
him.
Stopping right now. I just go on. Literally,
so,
months of crap. What's the phone number here, Joe?
212-209-2900.
212-209-2900.
So we have tickets for another screening.
What's the other screening?
Postal.
What's
and this
that?
Will be
where are they?
This is going to be a
you
list.
You have any info information?
Yes,
on
I do.
Where's the info?
It is
show
going
it
to
me.
Take place.
Show it to me.
It's in my mind.
Oh God.
It's going to take place on April 1st at the Tribeca Cinemas on Varick Street.
And April 1st. Now, is this a joke screening? You show up?
No.
Okay.
No. We move it at the last minute.
The
so this way, George and Jerome. And, yeah.
It's there.
But this is... The filmmaker is going to be there. The director.
Is that a hoax?
No.
Okay.
It's the truth. Mr. Uwe Boll.
Uwe Boll, the hardest working man in the entertainment
not
industry.
Not necessarily the most talented, but the most hardest working man.
You're promoting a film and trashing the director.
No, like well, you know.
I'm going to send this tape. What's his email?
Who's the director? Oh, you know what that message was?
What? From Sprint?
No, it was from somebody who's calling me up about doing the travel for Uwe Boll. To bring him in for the screening.
There it is. Hello, you're in the air. Hello.
Hello.
No, you're in the zone here. We bring you into this area before we bring you on the air.
Oh, cool! You put the space voice on.
Yes.
I feel special, man.
You are special. Who is this?
I'm calling from wonderful Maplewood, New Jersey.
Maplewood, New Jersey.
Yeah, I was calling because I never have been to a, what do you call those things where they invite the crowd to give their opinion on a movie that hasn't come out yet that you were just talking about, and I want to go to one.
You want to go? Joe, talk, give out the info. Let's come on.
First of all, you have to send an email to...
have another energy drink, Joe.
I'm not drinking. You are, not me. You have to send an email to... And what's the email, Mike?
N-I-T-E. That's N-I-T-E.
Okay.
S-H-I-F.
Night Shift.
Night Shift with a Z at the end at AOL.com. Send an email at Night Shift, and you can find it about... What are we calling the screening?
It's the Postal screening.
Postal. Yeah. And the director, Uwe Boll. Look up Uwe Boll. He does like 6 films a year. He directs 6 and writes like 6 films a year and produces like 4 or 5 others. And he owns the company. I don't understand. I don't understand. He must have cloned himself. I don't understand. He's like a vampire, and he never sleeps. And it's just latest persona.
He did that last film he did that was theatrically released, I think it was in January, was that Lost Kingdom or whatever with Jason Statham?
Yes, Jason Statham in the Barbarian film.
Yes.
How long are you in the air?
I'm going to on a movie, Doomsday.
Sir, you said ah about 12 times in
I heard doomsday
in there. 20 word sentence, so I really didn't understand what you're asking.
Well, no, I want to get two movies. Is it actually Doomsday and the Superheroes, the movie?
Doomsday and the Superheroes.
Yeah.
Joe?
Well,
I feel that to you.
I don't know what the question is.
I don't, neither do I. So
I'm waiting. I would like to respond, but I need to know what the question is.
Well, have you seen any previews of Superheroes?
No, I have not seen Superheroes.
What is Superheroes? Is that a movie?
That's the new, the Zucker Brothers kind of film.
Oh, right.
Superman.
With
the Superheroes.
And
it's all right. It's not lame, but it's all right, though.
It's all right. You saw the movie? You saw the trailer or the movie?
Well, I've seen the trailer.
So the trailer is alright.
Yeah. All the other stuff that came out before that, I mean, it was alright though, but it kind of got mixed reviews. I mean, you know.
I want to give you a tip, sir.
Huh?
I want to give you a tip. You need to record yourself talking. I do this myself, where you say "ah" so much.
I won't say that again.
That's right. You got to be cognizant. Hello,
bad habit.
That is bad habit.
I think you
went
to the Wilson Morales School of Radio.
Growing
up in Hawaii.
The more importantly, how you feel we had a black Senate state governor?
How do you feel? I think it's great. I think he's first black governor, first blind governor. It's amazing. We're living in amazing times. Amazing things are happening. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's smart. He's a smart guy. You know,
right.
He said some of his DNA
right.
comes from Scotland and Ireland.
DNA is from Scotland and Ireland.
What does that really mean?
It doesn't really mean anything.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about Obama growing up in Hawaii. I understand is it really flourishing drug culture over there in Hawaii? But the difference is they're not building prisons over there. That's why he didn't end up in jail.
Well, that's really probably why. I agree with you, sir. There's probably no other reason.
I mean, that's the reason. He had a chance.
If he had more jails, he'd have been in jail.
He had a chance to go to school.
That's right. Because deep down, you know, all black men are really criminals. That's really what it comes down to.
That's probably true. That's not
true. You know,
totally
doing
true.
Exactly.
We're talking about. I can point
exactly.
out movie after movie where that's the thing.
But they betrayed us. That's why. They betrayed us like that.
Who's they? Society?
Hello? I mean, the directors, you know. They see the street.
I came all the way in.
I understand. All right. Hello, you're on the air. Who's here?
Hello?
Yes. What's the phone here, Joe?
Yeah, well, anyway, he was
doing
exactly the same thing he was doing in his late teens and early 20s growing up in Chicago. He basically would have been put in jail.
I understand.
And on top of that, Clinton signed something into law, which stated you can't get a student loan if you ever get busted for drugs.
I understand. Sir, I got
a wonderful law.
Got a question for you, sir.
Can
I ask you a question?
Way to go, yeah.
Why are you up this late?
And have you really ever listened to this show before?
Not late, yes.
He's called it. It's not that late. I understand. Joe, did you know that there is now a anti-ecstasy antibody?
And somebody got paid money
to
do that.
In recent years, crystal meth and ecstasy have become America's top problem drugs. Meth can cause severe problems in the cardiovascular and central nervous systems. Furthermore, because there is no way to remove the drug from the body, therapies tend to focus on treating its side effects. But antibodies that bind to methamphetamines and methamphetamine-like compounds to effectively remove them from the bloodstream could change that. Michael Owens, director of the Center for Alcohol and Drug Abuse at the University of Arkansas, and colleagues have claimed to develop a way to generate them. They talk about how the team has not tested the antibodies in humans, only in rats. Of course. These are the Now, can you imagine, like, your day job is you're giving ecstasy to rats, you know? And it says here that a single injection can reduce the level of the drug within the bloodstream for several days. By binding to drug molecules, the antibodies prevent them from reaching tissues like the heart and brain and mark the compounds for cleanup by the body.
I understand.
That's fantastic.
It is.
You don't think so? Carolyn, you find that? That's amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
It is amazing. Life is like science fiction. So you have a story, Carolyn? Let's hear you read a story.
Oh, the same with the whole Elliot Stitcher thing. I'm looking at another person who will happily be restored to office, though. In a Connecticut school, there was an eighth grader who was stripped of his title as class vice president for buying Skittles.
Now that's a strict school.
Yeah, buying Skittles off another student.
Wow. That's low, Joe.
I'm just curious how he got caught. Like, was it in the, you know...
Yeah, like somebody's...
Like in the middle of science class or something like that? Or slipping?
Somebody tattled on him. Like, yeah, I saw him. He was buying Skittles in class. You know, like, what kid was that?
Well, he was blaming ignorance. That's why he didn't know it was against the rules.
There it is. And so what happened? So they're reinstating him.
Well, yes. They're saying that the superintendent... said that maybe they should have made it more obvious what the...
As opposed to suspending him.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Stripping him of his title. Embarrassment that goes along with that.
Wow. Well, he's on a certain path now.
They beat the system, so he's back.
Beat this, Joe?
Yes.
Do you think that could happen to Pataki? I mean, Pataki.
Oh, there
Spitzer.
You go.
But, I mean, can I just say something? What about the you know, okay, not that I'm a fan of Spitzer in any way, and I think that, you know, clearly what he did is horrible, and his family and the children and the daughters and all that, but there was a mayor that did crack. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And then he got his job back. They voted him back in.
The guy in Washington.
Yes. That's what about, kind of amazing.
What
no.
About, what about
like
you?
Like, he did crack, and it's funny because Chris Rock talks about it, and he says, now, if you work at McDonald's, they catch you doing crack. You don't get back on the fries.
I know.
But he became mayor again. So, that's something. Maybe that's progress.
And nobody ever brings up the whole fact about Huey P. Long.
Huey P. Long, what about him?
The man who ran Louisiana and who had a stripper for a girlfriend back in the day.
Well, you know, Ice-T married one.
You know, the whole thing about it is that whether or not he was using public funds to pay for his habit.
Is that the only thing to you? Is that the only issue?
Well, yeah, that's why they outed him.
No, that's not why they outed him. They outed him because...
It is.
You think so?
Yes, because if... Because
I don't think so.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yes.
I think there are other reasons.
Just remember, the only way they got Al Capone was for income tax evasion.
Yeah, but the only reason that they were going after him is because they thought he was making bribes somewhere. They want to know what he's doing with this money. Where is it going? They thought it was bribes. And they didn't know it was, you know, hose. They thought it
and
was
they
bribe.
Weren't the panty
they
ones.
They didn't know it was hose!
They didn't know it were the panty ones for his wife.
There it is. So yeah, let's not get into it, though. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, Revolution number 9. Play that song. That fits Spitzer. Number 9.
I didn't bring it.
Number 9.
Thank you.
Number 9.
It's very good, though. Thank you. Thank you. Joe?
Yes.
You have a story?
I have a story, and then I have the trailer for Postal queued up so that we can entice people to...
Postal for Huey Bowl will be there at the screening.
Huey Bowl
this
will
is
be
on
there.
April 1st? What day is April 1st? Is that a Monday?
I don't have my calendar up.
How can you not have a calendar? How can you be here giving out info?
Because this doesn't have a calendar on here.
Caroline probably has a calendar. She's prepared. I think she's going to come on the show from now on.
Oh, yeah? Okay, good. I'll take a break.
You bore me. I like her hair better than yours, too.
You bore me.
And she's cuter than you. And she has a personality.
And if she keeps doing this show, she'll end up with like me. Yes, I do. Which one do you want to hear?
Whatever.
Is it dealer's choice?
Dealer's choice.
Like lawmakers defend traditional coca use. Lima.
Coca.
Peru. Lawmakers defiantly chewed coca in Peru.
You say lawmakers.
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 Defiantly chewed coca in Peru's Congress on Thursday.
I'd like to see videos of that.
Either that or it's like, you know... It's like cows chewing their cud.
Exactly. Just keep doing these close-up.
Criticizing a UN recommendation to criminalize traditional uses of the plant. The coca leaf, the raw ingredient of cocaine, is used by millions of people to stave off hunger and fight altitude sickness. usually also used in teas, in cooking, and by fortune tellers. Maybe some high fortune tellers.
Fortune tellers.
There you go.
Everything.
The coca leaf has existed.
No, wait. The fortune tellers use coca leaves?
Yeah.
They chew on them before they tell you? Yeah.
Be a whole lot of fortune tellers here in Times Square would be out of business. Can't get their coca leaves.
Exactly.
It'd be like the 1970s gas shortage. Exactly. No coca today.
Stop. Well, they used to make Coca-Cola out of coke.
Well, no, but it was one of the ingredients.
It was.
Yes.
That's why it was called coca.
And the phosphates, coca. Too, that they would put right. in it.
Well, they still got phosphates. Still take the paint off the car.
So, there you go. The coca leaf has existed for thousands and thousands of years. It's part of our agriculture, our food, and our medicine. It's sacred, Congresswoman Hillary Super told Reuters before the start of Thursday's session.
Hillary's Super?
Hillary.
Oh.
Super.
Oh, I thought you said Hillary's Super.
No. The United Nations doesn't know our culture. It doesn't understand our values, she said.
You don't know our culture.
You don't know me.
We need our
coke. You don't know me. What you talking about? Chew on this. Let's see wide eye to eye.
Exactly.
Supa and Congresswoman Maria Sumeri.
As they chewed and became increasingly more wide-eyed.
And agitated.
And agitated.
And both were having their period.
Joe.
Later in the day, they were found in the corridor at the Congress, gnawing on each other's legs.
Exactly. Talking a mile a minute.
There you go. They were used in the pit woman.
You know, you feel free, Caroline, if you're offended in any way, kick him.
offered coca to their colleagues on the Congress floor from small hats.
I love that.
There you go.
Small hats. Here, that's a coca. Here, that's a coca.
Dozens of politicians took handfuls.
Of course.
And chewed the leaf.
Chewed in solidarity.
During a raucous session with like booze and hisses.
Start with booze. This is like a scene from a whatchamacallit, up in some Cheech and Chong.
There you go. Yes.
It's like, hey, everybody.
Senators Emeritus Cheech Moran.
Exactly.
But earlier this month, the International Narcotics Control Board of the United Nations, in its annual report, urged Peru and Bolivia to ban coca chewing with an eye toward cutting cocaine production.
Ban coca chewing.
So, coca chew. Sounds like Pikachu. Now that explains a lot about that little yellow hamster thing that...
Chewbacca's little brother.
There you go. Jose Garcia Belano... Peru's Foreign Peru's Foreign Relations Minister says Peru's right to chew coca is protected as an Andean tradition. Bolivia's President Evo Morales, who rose to power...
Evo Morales, you said?
Evo.
Oh, okay.
Rose to power as a leader of coca growers, has pushed to have it declassified as a drug. It's a breath mint. It's a gum. It's two in one. Peru and Bolivia.
Now what are the effects of the coca like? Why do they chew it? What do they get out of that?
Buzz.
Well, that's what I want to know. What are the effects of the coca?
There you go. Peru and Bolivia are the world's second and third largest coca producers after Colombia. There you go.
So what's the conclusion? What have they
done? I don't know. That's it. That's the whole story. That's what you gave me.
Nothing
more. That's it. All she wrote. Zip it. That's it. So to segue back, because we were talking about angry and raucously chewing Congress people on the floor.
Yes.
This movie Postal that we're pushing here. Do you know what it's? You know what it's based on?
No.
It's based on.
Who's in it?
Who is in it? Let's see. We have Zach Ward.
Ah.
Dave Foley.
Dave Foley.
Chris Coppola. Eric Avery.
All right, Joe. Obviously, nobody you know is in the movie. Go ahead.
So well, Zach Ward.
What's
know?
The premise of the movie?
Well, there was a computer game called Postal.
Okay.
It's about a disgruntled postal worker who goes postal.
Okay.
And that's the whole premise of the film.
High concept. All right, and Carolyn, any thoughts on this, turning this into a film? No. Would you greenlight this if you were the exec?
Want to hear a little bit more.
Okay. You need a little more of
just someone
pitch.
Going crazy with...
Okay, now, how does the game work? What happens? Is it just like you get out of his way, or are you him?
No, you're him.
You're him. So you just see victims.
Yeah, exactly. You it's a first-person shooter game.
First-person shooter game.
There you go.
Oh, there it is. What this is?
So is it actual postal worker or just going postal?
No, it's actual it's postal, postal worker who goes postal.
Oh, okay.
Hence
you know,
the term.
You know what I hear? I have to get this sound by Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes going, that was the kind of world we'd made.
Never mind that. A Heston soundbite from frickin' Bowling for Columbine.
Wait, is there a Heston soundbite in there?
Heston sound, they, you know, he goes to his house.
And what does Heston say?
Heston is out of his mind.
Well, he was. He was going
no,
crazy.
No, this
then.
Is like,
he's
this
got
is
Alzheimer's
like,
now.
He's totally like out there.
What did he say?
He's talking to him about, Michael Moore was talking to him about, you know, don't you think it was a little insensitive the fact that, you know, after this incident happened, the next day the NRA was having a gun rally in the city?
And what did Chuck say?
Chuck said, well, you know, we just happened to be there kind of thing. It's like, it just happened to be there? It's like, yes, you know, every American
is right. It was planned.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
So, and Michael Moore's telling them that, but wasn't it planned? And just like,
they're going to have to pry this out of my cold, dead head.
Does he say that?
Yes,
no, he
does.
Waving it above his head. Yeah.
You'll have to pry this. I love it. Cornelius! Bring my
and at one point it's like when he's doing the interview because he doesn't have his NRA folks about him and Michael Moore's interviewing him it's like he looks around like going line
somebody. Stop
he does
stop
you've seen it what do you think
yeah
he's
on the unscripted
line yeah exactly
alright well you see I have to see it now I've never actually seen Bowling for Columbine even though I did a promo screening I just didn't stay for the screening and I did it for the station. Joe, what's the phone number here?
212-209-2900. There you go.
Well, it's 105. You got 55 minutes left. And we're going to be bending time. We're going to compress 2 hours into one.
Virgins will worship us for all eternity.
I thought it was 100.
What's that?
100 virgins. They promised me 100.
99, 100. What's the difference?
If they're telling you one thing and they're telling me another, maybe they don't know for sure.
Maybe. Maybe the exact number of virgins is not precise.
I mean, if it's in the 90s, I can look at that.
Or 75.
Hey, I'm not greedy, but what if it's 10?
Well...
What if it's 10, but we have to split them between us?
Then you'll have 5 more virgins than you have right now.
Right? We're talking about eternity here. How long will 5 virgins last you?
Maybe a month? They're not going to be virgins for long, right? Look, would it make you feel better if we called the big guy?
Yes.
Take this thing. Osama, yes, it's Asif. No, we're on it. It's fine, but security takes forever, you know. What are you going to do? Anyway, look, Nabi has a question. Will you talk to him?
No.
Yes.
It's about the versions.
Really?
It was 100 when I signed up.
Yes, there's not that many anymore. Too many monsters that let the versions go around.
You've got to be kidding me. Does he know where we are here? Give me that book. Take this thing.
Awesome. Sasif. Right now. Can you tell me the number absolutely that you can guarantee Nabi and myself as far as virgins are concerned? No, that's fine. I can't guarantee more than 20. Screw this, right?
All right, so you've seen the film?
I've seen parts of it.
You've seen parts of the film. So the premise is that that doesn't go along with the premise at all.
But basically they had to add a little bit more story to it. So basically it's this postal worker is having a very bad day, and it just gets worse from there. So the terrorists, land in his little backwoods town of, Butthole USA,
And these are the arguing terrorists.
Yes, those are the. Yes, it's okay. A totally inappropriate and offensive movie.
It's funny, so it's comedy.
It's a live-action South Park.
Okay, all right, I'm with that. All right, and Uwe Boll will be there?
Uwe Boll will be there.
I want an interview. Why don't you get an interview with him? Can you get an interview with him?
We'll see if we can,
We'll get it ahead of time on the phone. I want to talk to him. I wonder how he does it.
How do you do it?
How the hell do you do that?
How do you do this?
He had 6 films came out last year, and you directed them all.
Well, he's had a couple, too. He's held in reserve.
Yeah, I know. I see the posters for them.
Yep, directed by Uwe Boll. Produced by Uwe Boll. Directed by Uwe Boll. Written by Uwe Boll.
I'm like... When does he sleep?
I don't know.
He's a vampire.
We've had one of he did Blood Rain.
Yes, he did. Listen to me.
And he had Meatloaf in it. I swear to you.
I saw Variety.
They did in Blood Rain too.
Listen to me. The Variety.
They got Postal 2 on here already.
AFI or whatever it is. American Film Market in November. Literally had 8 Uwe Boll films in there. 5 of them he directed. 3 of them he produced.
I have no idea.
How did he do that?
I don't know.
Well, it's a mystery. Do you have a story, Carolyn?
How you do this?
I'm just trying to get my mind wrapped around this one story of a Chinese bride burning her husband alive, her husband of 2 months.
She burned him alive?
Yeah, well, apparently...
Perhaps she wasn't happy.
Well, apparently not, because they were arguing again, I guess. It was frequent arguing, and they decided to drink a little to ease the mood.
Ease the mood?
I don't...
You know something? I don't think drinking when you're pissed and having a fight is a thing to do.
To ease anger, I guess, to
ease
to mellow
anger.
Out,
like,
and it did
I'll
not
kill
work.
You! All right, have a drink! Ow!
Well, sometimes that first drink, if you can leave it there, kind of like, all right,
if you don't throw it.
If you don't have cocoa leaves or anything.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so he went to sleep without washing his feet.
Stop.
And she,
she lit his ass on fire.
Picking your feet in Poughkeepsie.
It's funny, they...
Yeah. She must work for the Chinese government.
And you know what happens to women in China, and going to bed without washing the feet, unless there's some cultural thing behind that, you wouldn't think that's high in the list of burn the man alive for that.
What country? Where is it? Wouldn't be culturally acceptable to burn your man alive? And for, having dirty feet. That's what I want to know. Where do you think it would be acceptable?
What happened to Chris?
I don't know. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
Your buffoonery is flying high tonight, as usual.
Yes, it is. Yes. The height of buffoonery. So,
why is this such a show full of such buffoonery? I never heard of it.
You know, my only question is, sir, I completely understand we are buffoons, and this is buffoonery, but you listen every week. So...
Who said I listen every week?
I understand.
You said...
Well, I
nobody should believe a word you say.
That's true, but
they should only believe what I say.
You only know buffoonery by hearing it. Joe, what's the phonery?
I was staying out of this conversation because I didn't want to be a buffoon by association.
Yeah, like he was excluding you.
Exactly. 212-209-2900.
212-209-2900. So she lit him on fire.
Then
what? Did she get arrested? Is he dead?
Oh, yeah.
He's dead? She burned him alive.
She has been arrested.
Wow, he's dead. Because his feet smelled.
Smells with dirty? I don't know.
Damn. That's the like, you know, that brings new meaning back to, like, makeup before you go to bed. You know what I'm saying?
That got to be some righteously stinky, dirty feet.
Damn. Killed him, lit him on fire.
It was an accident. Maybe she's just trying to burn his feet.
Damn. Hello, you're on the air. Hello. Yes.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah. When are you going to send out the record? The last pledge drive I got.
Oh, did you mean the CD? I gave them in last week, so they should have gone out probably by the end of the week. So hopefully you'll be getting them this week. I printed up a cover and everything.
Doggone. Is the number I called?
You can find out if the pledge went out. I mean, if the premiums went out, you can call during the day at 212-209-2800 and just ask. Does the pledge go out?
Thanks a lot.
No problem.
All right, peace.
All right, peace. So these are the people who liked, that was that show that you were listening to with the music. The people want their CDs. Joe?
Yes.
So, talk to me. Where is the screening on April 1st?
The screening on April 1st is at the Tribeca Cinemas.
Tribeca Cinemas. Now, you have to be on the list.
Yes, you have to be on the
list. And you have to email nitesheftz@aol.com to get on the list.
Right, you have to put
meet
in the subject.
Yui Bowl.
Right, you have to type in the subject line, going postal.
Can you do Yui Bowl search and just show what else he's directed so we can tell the people in case they've actually seen any of his epics? And he does that. And the other thing about Yui Bowl is he does every genre. He did a period piece. This is obviously a more contemporary piece. He does horror.
He does it all.
He does it all.
I want it all.
The name of the show.
So in his short time as a filmmaker,
yes,
which began in 1991 as a director on a video called German Fried Movie. Gee, doesn't that sound a little bit like Kentucky Fried Movie?
Well, yeah, but German Fried Movie, you know.
He's done 20 movies.
20 movies.
So, and he's produced 24.
I give this guy credit. You know what I'm saying? So. He's got 20 movies.
And the man who gave us the original Alone in the Dark.
He directed Alone in the Dark?
Yes.
Look
he
at
has
that.
Currently got us ready in 2009 for Alone in the Dark 2.
There it is. When did Alone in the Dark come out?
Alone in the Dark came out in 2005. That was
wow.
Slater, Tara Reid.
Slater. Did you hear Slater's playing is on a TV show now? He plays like a spy.
Heard something about that.
Yeah, he plays a spy who has amnesia and realizes that he has a pre-programmed identity underneath his programmed identity that's actually a spy.
He's also given us a move. He's also doing Blood Rain 2 and Blood Rain 3.
Back to back.
Well, Blood Rain 3 is now in look at this. He's got three movies
exactly.
in pre-production.
That's my point. That's what I'm talking about.
He's got Sabotage, 1943, Blood Rain 3, and Zombie Massacre.
Now, come on. How does this guy do it?
I don't know.
I really want to, you know, I give him credit. He's like a studio unto himself. And he produces all the stuff. It's all him. He raises the money, he does it.
Huh, he's actually in Postal, too.
And he acts. Are you impressed?
He
does it all. Come on, you know? He's not making Schindler's List, but come on.
There you go.
So, you have a story for us? Another story, Joe?
Yes, I do.
What's your story?
Spiders play dead to get laid.
Talk to me. How does that happen?
Males will go to extreme lengths to get females, but playing dead might not seem like an obvious strategy. Unless, of course, you're necrophiliacs. Some male nursery web spiders, however, regularly feign death, and those that do are more likely to mate. This
if
is like
they
an
feign death.
This is like an Alina story.
Stop. Yes, it is. Yes,
so,
it is.
Taryn Bedell of the University of Aarhus, Denmark, and colleagues set up encounters between male and female. I have no idea how to pronounce their name, spiders. Males of the species present a food gift to prospective mates, with some males playing dead by stretching out their bodies and remaining motionless while holding the gift in their mouths.
What's the gift?
The food that they bring.
Stop. They lay there dead holding the gift in their... Now, that is something to see. Go ahead.
Bondage in nature.
Is that on YouTube?
So... The female spider investigates and takes hold of the food gift, sometimes dragging the male around. At this point, the dead male comes to life and maneuvers into the copulation position. 89% of the males that played dead achieved copulation, whereas just 40% of males that did not adopt this behavior were successful. Males that played dead also enjoyed longer copulation than males that did not, and were thus able to fertilize more eggs. While playing dead is an anti-predatory defense in many animals, it is used as a strategy to obtain sex as not been seen before. This apparent anti-predatory behavior has evolved into an adaptive mating strategy.
Hmm. I'm just trying to picture like,
the spider.
Things
that make you go, hmm.
Yeah, the spider laying on his back, holding the food in his mouth, waiting to mate. It's an interesting image, Joe. Okay. Any comments on that one there, Carol Ann?
I just can't comment.
Life is like science fiction.
Absolutely.
You have a story, Carol Ann?
Oh, yes. I'm just memorized by
mesmerized.
Rusher.
Yes.
It's apparently... They have come out with a vodka for the ladies.
Vodka for the ladies.
Especially made for the ladies. And now they're worried that well, they're saying vodka is no more harmful than chocolate. They're comparing it to chocolate now.
Vodka is no more harmful than chocolate.
Yeah. And
okay.
So they've made a vodka especially designed.
That's a
to be
spin.
Marketed. Yeah. Little,
that's a
trying
spin.
To look at that connection. So, apparently Russia has a lot of stuff that's designed especially. They have pink cabs just for the ladies.
Pink cabs?
Taxis.
Oh, okay. Like, they only eat those cabs. Like, I'll have some of the ladies' beef, please.
Oh, I see. So it's the Vodka people comparing it to chocolate. What they're saying is that diabetes is worse in Russia than alcoholism. Higher rates. So if you're not going to ban chocolate, how can you ban... marketing vodka to the ladies.
Wow.
Some people are worried about alcohol isn't being a rise in Russia. They're already known for that vodka.
Yeah,
so.
But they are, but it's kind of life is like science fiction in that, you know, they're going to use that as an argument. More people are dying of this.
Right.
It's worse to die of diabetes than of alcoholism. Wow. Okay, so alcoholism for the ladies. Do they have a name for the vodka?
Let's see.
See, I'd be curious. That'd be a good thing to call in for. You have a name for the ladies' vodka, Joe?
Okay.
Search a little further, see if I can see it.
Joe?
It has to be that. Have you heard about the Bong vodka?
The Bong vodka?
Yeah, I gotta get you some information.
Explain the concept.
It's
vodka in a bong.
In a water pipe.
So you put the vodka in there, and then you...
No, you buy it, you drink it, and then you can reuse the bottle.
Stop.
Yep.
Wait, it starts, so it's like destroy yourself in every possible way. So you buy it, it's a vodka in a bong bottle.
Yes.
I understand. And why do you know about this?
Here it is. Look.
vodka in a bong bottle. This will probably be popular on campus. You gotta go down.
Look, there's the bottle, see? Just gotta put the, get the thing to put the...
Oh, wow. It really is a bong.
Mike is like...
Wow. Did you order some?
I know somebody actually...
You get some with Fears Mag on the side.
There you go.
Yeah, that's his website, fearsmag.com.
So, what's with the...
This is my Asian interlude music.
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Do you want to hear about the supermarket sensor that warns of prepackaged products?
Sure.
Here it is, a plastic widget that floats around in milk, soup, or fruit juice cartons that could tell you if it contains food poisoning bacteria without you having to open them. A scanner at the supermarket would simply sound an alarm if the pathogens are present. The idea is the brainchild of Craig Grimes at the Pennsylvania State University. He says that the technology uses a novel mechanism to detect the food bug Staphylococcus aureus in milk which has not been properly refrigerated. The key component of the widget is a strip of iron nickel molybdenum.
Molybdenum.
No.
Like Beckham.
No, it's Ben-num.
Okay.
And boron alloy that has an unusual property. It vibrates in a shut up.
Boron.
Okay. It vibrates in a magnetic field. The strip's vibrations in turn generate its own magnetic field, which can be picked up using a nearby detector coil. Okay. Fresh milk is relatively thick, and so the sensor strip is only able to vibrate slowly when exposed to a magnetic field. But, he says, it causes milk to but aureolus, Stepho, whatever, aureolus, causes milk to decompose, which lowers its viscosity and lowers the sensor to vibrate at a telltale higher frequency.
Mm-hmm.
A very cheap detector could be placed at supermarket checkouts to identify contaminated cartons.
Cheap.
There it is.
And that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. I don't know. I you know, it's sort of amazing. I don't really know why, but it's amazing. Caroline, any thoughts there on the vibrating milk?
The vibrating milk.
No.
Makes you want to go. I'm wondering about my milk at home though now.
Exactly. You don't have that little chip in there.
No, I don't know.
It's been there for a while. You know what you can get?
What are you, filmmakers here?
Yes, we are. What's the phone number here again, Joe?
212-209-2900.
You think Chris is sleeping? The reason that a lot of people haven't called is because I didn't really give out a theme. I was going to have. Here was my theme, Joe. But Caroline didn't have anything to contribute, so I was going to change my theme. But last week, Joe, when you weren't here, we did neighbor horror stories.
Yeah, I know. I was listening.
You were listening. And then this week...
I fell asleep.
Then you fell shut up. And this week I was going to do landlord horror stories because I have so many.
You put both of them out there last week.
I know, but I only took neighbor horror stories.
I see.
But then I also had robbery stories. Have you ever been robbed, Joe?
Nope.
Never?
Mm-mm.
No one's ever ripped you off?
Mm-mm.
Not your car, not your house, not your desk?
Nope.
No one ever hit you in the head?
Nope.
Took your lollipop?
The only thing that would come close to that is we were at a carnival once, and my brother and sister wanted to get involved with this, like, game kind of thing.
You were accosted by a clown.
No, and I was like, you know, I don't think you should do it because... And they were like, when is like, you know, something's got to be rigged kind of thing, and... As I started to figure out what it was, they started losing the money that they had won and then whatever. And it was like, can lose, walk away.
Like the shell game kind of thing going on?
Well, it was interesting because there was a thing where you let these balls go down and they would go into these numbered cups. But the whole thing was that it was ambiguous as to how the guy was count adding up the numbers. So sometimes when he did it really quick, he was counting the numbers under the ball. And sometimes he was counting them on top of the ball. And how you added it up, you
and
got
this
different.
This is at a carnival?
Yeah.
I understand.
And so at one point I started to say something, and some people were gathering around, so basically he turned around and gave us the original money we invested into it back and sent us on our merry way.
Oh, okay.
So it's all about speed and misdirection.
That's pretty good, Joe. That's a good robbery story. How about you, Caroline?
Nope, nothing.
No one's ever robbed you, taken anything, stolen pen, pencil, comic book?
I had my keys stolen when I was a student at Monmouth University to my dorm room.
Did anybody come in your dorm room?
No, it was, I actually found out who did it, and it was just one of those drunken things where there was a guy, it was more like a suite, so there were four rooms off, and a guy who used to live there the year before was just like, hey, I used to live here, I should get keys for this place, and saw mine hanging up, and took them, and that was it, so it was sad for like a week after that. I had to just wait outside my dorm room, wait for someone, my suite mates, to come in, because it's college, no one has money to go
and run and get new keys made, of course.
If you try to report it, it's a whole thing, you know, whole processing.
So how'd you get new keys?
I had to go through the grapevine, tell everyone out there, my keys are missing, and it was one of your friends.
And then you found out.
Yes, I was I was told, actually, I got a phone call to report to the lost and found.
Okay.
Just go to the lost and found, your keys are there.
Oh, so that's good.
They eventually got returned to me.
Well, there it is. Joe?
Yes?
That's your only... I feel like, you know, I'm in the minority. I have so many robbery stories.
I mean, I don't, you know, the time, like, for my first marriage, when I got back into the apartment, when everything was gone kind of thing, mm-hmm. that isn't necessarily being robbed.
Right.
You know, so robbed would be like somebody you don't know comes
right.
in.
Right. Well, I could combine my landlord nightmare and horror story with robbery, too. You know, I had this landlord. His name was Ron. And he was like the landlord from hell. He had like the sticker on the wall that said, you know, with a big 44 Magnum that said, you know, the owner of this building owns a handgun, you know. And he did all kinds of crazy things.
If you were my tenant, I would.
Thank you. One of the things he used to do, besides, you know, locking me out if I were late on rent and stuff.
He'd sit on the porch and scratch his feet.
He just did all kinds of crazy things. But he would go into my apartment. Okay, and you know how it is, like you have your things around, your CDs, mm-hmm. DVDs, at the time VHSs, whatever, and you're looking for something, where is this thing? And at one point, I'm up in his apartment, and there's my CDs on his thing, and I'm like, oh my god, that's mine! You know, and he's like, no, it's not, my friend gave that to me. And I'm like, that's not, this is like some rare whatever, remix, Peter Gabriel, no, no. Now what do you do in that situation?
Call the cops.
Yeah. And then, well, how are you going to prove it? My landlord came into my apartment and took my CD.
Well, because the landlord is supposed to have keys to your apartment. If things have gone missing...
There it is. And how do I prove that? How do I prove that, Joe? Explain that to me.
See, that's why if you noticed early on, too, like, I used to lend stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a one of those crimp things. And on all, like, my CDs, I would put from the library of...
Oh, Joe, I think I remember borrowing something with you with that little thing on there.
So there you
it's
go.
In my collection, though. Okay. No.
Infamous for that. So.
I'm not infamous for that.
Anything you bring in to contribute to the show, make sure it ends up out
That's
of his bag.
That's not true. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to that man.
Gonna put one of those RTF chips in it.
Yeah, exactly. A little
LoJack, exactly.
Did you get anything back?
Did I get anything
any
back?
Of the CDs
well,
or?
You know. No, I didn't get the CDs back. I mean, and again, this is like a nightmare situation, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, the way this whole situation ended up, the way I got away from the landlord is he never told me, but he sold the building. Okay, I had the bottom floor of a two-family house. He sold the building, never told me, okay. At some point, I have some man come knocking on my door, you know, and he's like, Muhammad, hi. Yes, I own the building, and he's, you know, you owe me 3 months' rent. I'm like, what are you talking about? I've been paying my rent all this time. He's like, no, he didn't. So he kept the rent. And then I started getting, this is the real kicker. For the next 2-3 months, I started getting all these bills from, like, CD Club, okay? He had joined under every name you could think of, okay? And, like, literally at least a dozen. Okay, and had ordered, you know, when you get 10 CDs mm-hmm. for whatever. So I was getting multiple bills, and of course, because he was home all day, he would get the mail before me, so I never knew that this stuff was coming for my apartment, and, you know, I had all these bills coming for all these CDs and things, various names and people. I mean, and that's, I'm really scratching the surface of the things that this guy did. I had to call the police on him, and, you know. So, yeah, that's just one robbery story. And then one time, okay, one last story here. I come home. My apartment has been upturned. Okay, spray paint on the walls. Kill. Okay, turned out that his son, who he was feuding with, his teenage son, in order to piss him off, had trashed his tenant's apartment. And when I say trashed, I mean literally. Trash, just like when you see in the movies when you come home and the person's whole apartment is upturned and stuff and paper and whatever, and that's what it was. If that's not a nightmare, I don't know what it is.
Of everything that's lost, wow. I want to pronounce all.
Do you know who this is, David Sylvian? Do you know who he is?
No.
Clearly grew up listening to Dave Boy. Hello, you're on the air.
You people get ridiculed by me all the time.
Yes, but you continue to call and you continue to listen.
You think that there's no one out there that's not laughing at you right now?
No. And his point is?
You know, he's up at this point.
I wonder if he realizes that there potential exists for people to be laughing at him.
I don't know. I don't know if he thinks in those ways.
Well, you know what Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney, and Gene Kelly would say?
No, I really, actually, I don't.
Be a clown, be a clown, going around the world, love the clown.
I understand. So, what is that other song, Send in the Clowns?
Well, that's that sad one from Sondheim. So.
Yes, that is a sad song.
Sondheim equals sadness.
That's true. Let's see, two people calling, so they both can't be him. Hello, you're in the air. Hello?
Yeah, hello.
Hello?
Hey, how you?
Hey, who's this?
Okay.
Well, that was nice.
Because he probably heard the thing on the other phone. Yeah,
he thought it was him. What's phone number here again, Joe?
Oh, please, please!
Does it, Caroline, did you catch on to what the phone number is?
Oh.
Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Wow, you're still sober enough to dial the phone?
No, it's one of my favorite holidays. I'm calling from New England. I'm up here in New Massachusetts.
Hey, are you listening on the web?
No, on a radio. It's just coming in very faint.
Oh, I hear you. That must be... What kind of antenna do you have? Like a...
You're right. Actually, you're right in between two rock stations.
I hear you. You must have quite a...
You
have like a ladder with copper wire wrapped around it on your roof?
Actually, no, I do. I have a shortwave radio wire antenna, like a long wire.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck it in this radio I found in the garbage that's more or less worked, except for the antenna missing. And my shortwave radio is in a repair shop.
Well, that's pretty amazing. And what's your name, sir?
Hello. Sorry, my name is Tom.
Tom, I think somebody else is here. Hello, you're on the air? Hello?
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 I think it's Felicia.
Hello?
By the way, I wanted to ask something.
Yes.
I heard that down in New York they were signing... I heard that down in New York they were signing some kind of petition to make St. Patrick's Day a national holiday. You ever heard about that?
Carolyn?
No, except for the Guinness commercials. That's all. The only places,
In the Guinness commercials they're doing that, yes.
Right.
Yes, yes. We hear you, Felicia.
Oh, all right. I didn't know. It's amazing, yeah. You know who I am.
Yes.
It's not hard to know who I am.
No, you have a unique voice, Felicia.
Pardon?
You have a unique voice.
Can you believe I sing with it? And it sounds terrible.
I understand.
But I like it.
Oh, that's right. Good.
Pardon?
You're that filmmaker, right?
Me?
Hello?
No, the
guest.
The guest, Felicia? You make films, Felicia?
I mean, the host.
I'm at home to myself and my friends.
The host. Yes, I am the filmmaker.
I make films to myself and my friends.
I understand.
Videos.
Do you have anything up on YouTube?
Pardon?
You have anything?
No, I don't have a computer. I'm still ancient.
I understand.
DVDs and DVDs and videos. No. But I had an experience of somebody robbing me once.
Okay, talk to me. What happened?
Well, this mean, tough guy used to live next door to me. He was like a criminal. He broke in my trailer and stole some of my pot once.
Broke in your trailer and stole some of your pot? How did he know where your pot was?
Well, it's not hard to look through someone's mobile home, you know?
I don't know. I mean, you know, if you had like some kind of clever stash.
Oh, he's been in there a couple times and he broke the lock. Hello, Jimi Hendrix. Does that sound like Hendrix feedback? Make believe.
Joe.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, I wasn't very happy because he used to really do weird stuff, you know, and peek in my windows and everything. He was a real troublemaker, but he moved. But it didn't feel right because I know what was in there. It was just a, you know, like a medicine bottle, and I don't smoke much anymore. Once in a while, I want to get it. I want to enjoy it, you know?
Do you still live in the trailer park?
Yes, I've been here 11 years.
What trailer park is this that you're
living in? Well, I guess I'll say I'm not afraid. Garden State Mobile Home.
Where is that? Garden State?
It's off of 138 and Wall, right by Belmar.
Joe?
About 5 minutes from Asbury in Neptune.
Yes.
Do you know this trailer park in Neptune?
And
oh, I know a trailer park.
I think I would know that because...
Elena would know.
Well.
Oh, she knows a trailer park in Neptune?
Yeah, she grew up in trailer park. Hello, you're on the air.
All right. You want me to get off? Because I'm going to go lay down.
Okay.
Okay.
You keep listening.
But I'll talk to you another time.
Okay. Thank you, Felicia.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yes.
This is Paul out in Brooklyn.
Paul out in Brooklyn. How are you?
I got a... I was...
A robbery
listening
story?
Listening to you. I have a robbery story.
Talk to me.
It was quite a number of years ago in New York, and I had saved up to buy a camera, a used camera, and I finally got it, and I also went shopping for groceries, and I was walking home to my apartment, and I got up to the door of the apartment, and these three guys came up behind me, and after I opened the door, they started to push in behind me, and I that's my better judgment. I asked them, I said, do you live in the building? And they said, yeah, we came to visit our aunt. And I just, in a moment of weakness, let them come in behind me. As soon as they got in, two of them pulled guns on me.
Wow.
And put me up against the wall, and went through my pockets, stole my wallet, and are you still there?
We're still here.
Oh, okay. I just heard some.
Joe's not here though.
Okay. Stole my wallet, guy, and but the interesting thing about it. One of the guys put a gun right up to my head and said, don't move or I'll blow your blanking head off. And my reaction to it was,
come on, nobody really talks like that. No, what'd you say?
No, believe me, they do. Well, I was quite a few years younger, and it was, there was the potential of a fight. So he was like basically bracing me, telling me don't mess with me. I'm censoring my speech. I'm sure you can pick that up. My reaction to it was, I really thought that might be, my moment of death right there. And what's funny is I didn't start praying to Jesus or anything. The thought that came through my head was, gee, it really is absurd, and I sort of saw this news headline, man shot in robbery in the New York Post sort of flashed across my mind, and I just became very peaceful and just sort of accepted that was the way it was going to end. But anyway, I got through it. The guy just took all my, took all my stuff, ran out. They said, lay down on the floor for, 10 minutes or, don't get up, or, because we got a guy standing outside. And they went tearing off. So anyway, I got, after about a minute, I couldn't resist. I got up. They were long gone. But the whole upshot of this was I ran upstairs and I called the cops. Not that I had any faith that the cops were going to do anything. And I left the two bags of groceries. They didn't take my groceries. I went back downstairs to get my groceries. And somebody in the building had stolen my groceries. It's really crazy. It was a bad night.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say that's not a good night. There are better nights. Well, I'm glad that you were unscathed.
Yeah, well, it was... I was unscathed. I think that it took... it probably took a good year for me to overcome the
feeling somebody's going to push behind you.
Real anger, yeah, and I might as well say it. I had some very hostile racist feelings about it because they were
black.
They were Afro-Hispanic.
Afro-Hispanic. That's hard. Then you got two races you got to be angry at.
Admittedly, I was, it took me a while to work it through.
That's
a little
story. Slice
of life. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Well, no, that's a good story. And what's your name, sir? You're Paul from Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Paul.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for sharing with us. Well, there you go.
We got some DVDs we got to give away, too.
Okay, what is this movie?
This is called Rockaway.
Talk to me.
It is I don't want to give too much away because it's got like a twist in it kind of thing.
They took his family.
Yes.
Now, he'll take their lives.
It's written and directed by the Crook brothers, Jeff and Josh Crook. And it was shot in Rockaway, New York. Yes, right in the Rockaways. And it's got a pretty good cast, but the most interesting person of notoriety might not be familiar to the majority of the listening audience, but definitely to the Latino audience that watches the novellas on TV.
And the Latina audience.
Well, specifically that, because, we're talking the Latin Fabio.
What do you think? We have a woman. Carol Ann, do you think he's a Latin hottie there?
There you go.
The guy with
the glasses?
Right there.
No, not with the looks. You go ahead and see the guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, the one with the long hair and the giant pirate.
Okay.
Oh, you heard that. Oh! Okay.
Look at that picture over there. I can definitely
of course,
see that.
Just wait. She's going
to be... The long hair for the romance novel cover.
Yes. Right. Mario Chimaro.
Mario Chimaro.
That's him.
There he is.
So... And the Crook brothers.
Yo, you're a bunch of funny dudes, man.
Thank you. Go ahead.
The Crook brothers, we did a little interview with them. But they've given us some of their DVDs to give away.
All right.
How would you like to handle that?
They should email, and then Joe will send it to them.
I'll send it to them. Yes. I just gave them to you.
Why throw it on me?
Then I shouldn't even brought them for you.
All right. 212. I mean, sorry. Well, I'll give you the phone number where you can call if you want to get
call
one.
It.
You call for this one. 212-209-2925. That's the Night Shift hotline. Or you can email us at NITESHIFTZ for Rockaway. It's a story of Train, Nicholas Gonzalez, a decorated war hero just shipped back from the States after the brutal murder of his wife and child back home in Rockaway, Queens. Upon his turn, Train encounters his old friend, who describes the new forces of crime and prostitution that have moved into the neighborhood.
There you go.
Is it like that in Faraway Rockaway?
I guess so.
I didn't know there was new crime and
prostitution. You got Russian mobsters in there and stuff.
Are there Russian mobsters in Rockaway? I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No clue.
I thought you covered the crime beat.
Anyway, and I've got this little interview I did with them.
Is it ready?
Yeah, it's ready.
It's ready? All right, how long is it?
9 minutes.
I thought it was 5 minutes.
Well, I put the trailer on it.
We should do one or the other.
I could cue out the trailer.
Cue out the trailer.
But I can't hear it.
You can't hear it? You mean you can't hear it to cue it out?
Yeah.
Yo, Rambo! Alright, well then, how are you going to do this, Joe?
Hold on.
How are you going to do this? How is Joe going to do this?
Wait, right now.
You're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. The name of the show is Night Shift.
I'm taking them all down.
That's the trailer, Joe. Are we playing the trailer instead of...
No. Go ahead. I almost got it out.
Well, you don't have it out yet. Why are we going to come in at the end of the trailer?
No. Filmmaking is hard enough. Especially when you guys came up with the idea, and being that independent filmmaking is hard enough, especially when you can shoot anywhere in the world, when they're, offering all different kinds of, like, tax write-offs and stuff, how come you guys ultimately decided to shoot this in Rockaway, New York?
Well, the
The location we shot at, I don't know if you're familiar with it, is in Kane. It was it's an area that's sandwiched between the A train, the elevated A train, to the beach, you know, where the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be a neighborhood of bungalows that I think got just looted and destroyed in Hurricane Alice, I think in the late 60s, 69. And it just left this wasteland. So you had, you got these streets and these abandoned lots, you know, with nothing but weeds and stuff growing on it. So within New York City, you've got the beach, the boardwalk, an abandoned wasteland, the elevated A train and projects. And we just thought, you know, for years we've been thinking this is such an amazing location, we should shoot here. So
yeah.
We came up with the idea for the movie. We felt like it was a real natural for that place.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, because there are a lot of there are several now, but there aren't many brother film producing pairs. Of course, the Coen brothers and the Wachowski brothers. How is it working together, and how do you share the responsibilities and decide who's going to do what on a project?
Well, first up, we didn't actually produce this one. This one we just directed.
Mm-hmm.
But we do often produce our own movies, and I guess usually how we describe directing is. Josh will tend to work with the cinematographer a little more often, and I'll tend to spend more time with the actors. And usually you describe it because Josh does a lot of the editing on our movies, so he has a really good understanding of what's going to cut with what. I'm maybe more patient than Josh with the actors. So, yeah. But, you know, generally we're on the same page before we shoot. We're going over our shot list and everything. The day before, and then it also helps because we can double check each other to make sure one of us is not going off on an insane tangent of some kind.
Yeah, it's interesting because the film has a well concealed twist at the end. Given the genre that the film is presented in at the beginning, and the very New York kind of situations that present itself in there, when in the process of creating the story did you decide it wanted to have that twist, and what did you? In terms of relevance, without trying to give anything really away, given that there are some type of films that are easier to sell than others, did it originally start out as with the idea that you wanted to do a specific genre, or did that just develop naturally out of the story?
It was something that we liked about. I mean, the original, the movies that that kind of inspired this were like some of the old Kurosawa stuff, and then some of the spaghetti western versions of the Kurosawa stuff, like Yojimbo and Fistful of Dollars and all that kind of stuff. So, we liked it, but we really liked the mythological aspects of some of the things. And then there's also, because of the Mexican-American aspect, there's a sort of a Catholic part. And so we kind of felt like that all sort of lended itself to a mythological, aspect to it. It seemed like it would be a cool...
Yeah, and High Plains Drifter was another movie we definitely referenced in this.
Okay.
We set out, that's kind of what we wanted to do with the location. It's a weird, realistic place, and so, it all seemed to kind of go together, and so we set out to kind of, I don't want to give it away either.
Well, it's funny.
I do kind of feel like that side of it, I'm watching it now is stronger than almost the kind of more mundane side of it. To me, it makes the movie more interesting than it otherwise would have been.
To add to make it not just a standard shoot 'em up, I guess.
You get ready. You're doing your independent film. You're shooting in New York in the Rockaways. Great location there. Also utilized by that whole boardwalk area that extends down into Brooklyn. That was utilized by Darren Aronofsky in Requiem for a Dream. Great location. When you do a picture like this, it's so easy to, fall back on stereotypes. Other than one or two of the more, secondary characters, I think you did a really good job with, Juju and the Russian character and the lead of creating more dimensional characters that, still had their pitfalls and still, their little idiosyncrasies. But how challenging is it, and what do you guys do in order to ensure that you create these characters that are recognizable but don't fall into the thing of being stereotypes?
Well, I think it's just the general reaction we have as filmmakers is to try to avoid cliches and stereotypes as much as possible. And one of the ways we do that is we're very flexible with the actors. I mean, if there's some dialogue on there, and it's just trying to get a point across that, you know, could get probably be got across in a much more flavorful way, you know, we'll just work with them and see what they come up with. And, you know, we like to have as much rehearsal time as possible. But like Josh was saying, I think we got really lucky with a lot of the actors we had that were able to really do make something distinctive about their characters, you know, not just Mario, but Manny Perez and Oleg. There's a scene with Oleg toward the end of the movie where he kind of tells a story that gives you some insight into where his character's coming from. And that was something that we just kind of, you know, we workshopped with him the day we shot it, actually.
Story that he knew about, and it's actually, I think, a true story. You know, for all the whoppers in this movie, that one thing, which seems like the most gratuitous, is actually a true story. Not that, you know, Oleg did that, but it's frightening and chilling, but also, you know, we thought it was pretty cool that they'll put it in. We also, you know, me and my brother grew up in Brooklyn. You know, we were around a lot of different, we grew up around a lot of different kinds of people. And so, you know, we've done movies with black actors and Latino actors and all these other things. And people say, well, how do you do that? And the main thing I think we assume going in is that people are people. And, you know, we start there. We say, here's people, whether they're good guys or villains, black or white or, you know, Latino or whatever, is that they all basically care about the same things. And here's what their dilemma is. And so starting from that place, I think it's a lot easier to not get, you know, stuck in a cliche where, you know, the character starts out as, okay, this is, you know, a character we saw in some other movie. You know?
Cool.
I think if you start out as everybody's a person, you know, everybody's kind of the same, it makes it easier for them to actually be more unique and specific.
What is up next for the Krupp brothers?
We just finished post on another movie called The Level, which is kind of Rashomon-esque in its structure, but it's you know, a different piece. It's set in a kind of gangland Youngstown, you know, with a mystery of, you know, who killed the boss, and they're trying to find out. Everybody's being questioned and lying, so, you know, we see, you know, various stories. You know, the movie unfolds from different perspectives, but they're all lying because they're being tortured, so.
You know, kind of a genre way to, you know, discuss kind of what's going on with forced interrogation and whether it's reliable or not.
Well, I wanna, you know, thank you guys for taking the time out to talk about Rockaway. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Radio WBAI 99.5 FM, and this has been Night Shift. And I'm Mike Sargent. I'm here with Joe Masseri.
Yes, Mike Sargent.
And Carol Ann. You know, Carol Ann, I have to say, from over here, a few times I'm looking over at you from here with the lighting and the microphone in front of you, you look like Misha Barton.
Like who?
Misha Barton. You don't even know who she is.
No, I know. I should know the name, though.
You should know the name. I mean, I only know it, and I don't know why I know it. But you know it.
But I do know it.
What do you know it?
I've never seen her in anything, actually. Are you going to take out your thing there, Joe? Well, and for the tickets, for the DVDs, for all the things we've been talking about, email us, nitesshiftz@aol.com. Or you can visit us on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com. Hear this show and many others. And,
or if
you
want to call us, 212-209-2925. Carolyn, so what do you think? This is your first night shift. Did you enjoy yourself?
I had fun with the buffoonery.
You had the fun. You enjoyed the buffoonery.
It's a compliment from me. If it's not fun, you're what's the deal?
Exactly. Why do it if it's not fun? That's my motto. Joe?
Yes.
Will you be here next week?
I don't know. We'll see.
Really? Really? Does it depend on my behavior this week?
I don't know.
What's Tony, do you want to go see prom night? You know you do. I'll destroy you. I can really see Tony Short showing up to the prom night screening and screaming in the front row. All right. Until next week, this has been Night Shift. Stay tuned. What? What was that? Oh, see, don't even get me going on Tyler Perry. He is a force to be reckoned with now. He's even in the new Star Trek movie. He plays Uhura, right?
Exactly.
No,
Uhura's mother.
Stop.
Remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.